Hey, the bop, the bop, the Malaga bop is here. What's good, everyone? Good morning. Happy Friday to y'all. Congrats on making it to another Friday. I'm sending y'all great vibes wherever you are. Congrats on making it to the weekend. Over here, though, we don't care. I mean, we do care. We do care that it's Friday, but the grind is the same every single day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It doesn't matter. The grind just, it continues. I mean, we'll take an occasional day off here and there, but, you know, the vibes. I hope you guys are doing well. I hope y'all have been enjoying some playoff basketball. We are back again for another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. What a wild day of hoops yesterday. We started the day off with the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves. I remember I talked on the pod and I was like, I don't know, it's kind of a toss-up, but you know, my feelings and thoughts developed throughout the day. That's what happens sometimes. Hopped on the Grizzlies, -2, an hour before lock. And it was not looking good. It was looking actually pretty terrible. And I was like, damn it, Caleb. Your stupid-ass late ad got you again. But as we now know, the Grizzlies go on an insane run in the fourth. Just dominated the Timberwolves. Tough look for the Wolves. Tough look for Cat. Cat had a pretty bad game. But just super fun stuff. I think that's probably one of the more entertaining series right now. Just because you have two young pups of squads. Ton of talent. Trying to figure it out. Two up-and-coming, really smart head coaches. But two coaches who also don't have a ton of experience in the playoffs. So it's been a fun experience just watching these two young teams go at it and kind of figure out their identity and who they are and take their lumps here and there. But I don't know. We'll see. I think talent-wise, this thing can definitely go 7. But it's really just going to come down to how the T-Wolves respond to a gut punch like that. You basically have game 3 locked up, and then you don't. Next thing you know, you don't. Down 2-1. We'll see how they respond at the crib. We were able to grab Grizz -2, cash that. D'Lo fairly sweat free, cashed in the third on over 17.5 points. He took threes that cashed much earlier on. D'Lo back at the crib was a good bet, even with Dylan Brooks on him. Then middle game, Jazz Mavs, didn't watch a ton of it, but obviously we have Mavs series price +255. +260, something like that. So just best case scenario, going to Utah, that Jazz team looks done. Talked about it many times, man. They just don't really seem like they fuck with each other. Super high variance in terms of their offense. It's really just pull threes, and really that's a lot of what this league is right now. But you know, I feel like they take it to another level, and it's bared itself out on the ugly side here now a couple times. But again, they just don't have that same sort of fire, I feel like, that they had last year. Togetherness. Feels like, you know, they're just waiting for a bad stretch so they can point fingers and blame. But series not over. Luka is probably on his way back. Things not looking good for the Jazz right now. Mavs series price at +255. Looking delicious. JB is that dude. He's going to go get paid in the offseason. Just a great team effort. And Jason Kidd really deserves a ton of credit. Just quite simply an upgrade over Carlisle. I think Carlisle is a little old in his ways. Not saying he's a bad coach, but I don't think he's necessarily a great leader and people person. And I don't think he has the basketball IQ to make up for that. And that's not to say he doesn't have basketball IQ. Obviously, he's one of 30 head coaches in the NBA, but I mean, you saw it last year with Brad Stevens. You can be a really smart coach, but if the voice doesn't resonate with the players, you're gonna have a tough time. Jason Kidd's voice is definitely resonating with players. Mavs, big time team effort, grinded out win. Shout out the Mavs. Last game, grab the Warriors -2. Grab Will Barton over 16.5 points. The Will Barton call was horrendous. He finished with, I think, 13. Played plenty of minutes, but it's weird, man. I mean, Will Barton, in my eyes, has always been like, all right, when Jamal and MPJ are out, is like that kind of X factor. You know, not even off the, he's come off the bench at times, but just like kind of a bucket getter, OG type of pickup hoop game, and can just go get you a bucket. he was parked out in the corner. I remember, you know, they had Bone Tyland and him in for a little bit there, late third, early fourth. And Bones is just bringing the ball up, running a pick and roll every time with Willie B in the corner. And it's just like, I get it. Bones is, you know, kind of dynamic. He's young, but Willie B, man, OG, the thrill. Go put your stamp on this game. Really feel like he didn't. So I think he had 13 points, falls 4 points short. Minutes were there. Shots and usage definitely weren't. It was just a bad call. We'll own that. But we were able to get the Warriors minus two. And, man, you got just an insanely dangerous offensive trio in Steph Clay and Jordan Poole. You got the best defensive player in the game in Draymond Green. You've got experience both in the players and the coaching staff. You have individual weapons like Wiggins. You have Loon. Everything seems to be coming together for this Warriors team. I don't want to get my hopes up, but this group is absolutely locked in, and it's just been a blast as a Warriors fan to witness the boys back in the big dance, bro. It's been 4 years. Anyways, I think that brings us to 14-11 in the playoffs, which we'll take, man. Playoffs are an absolute grind. Sharp lines everywhere. Sharp lines everywhere, and you got to find just little pockets of value. I mean, that's what you got to do in the regular season, but I feel like we're in the playoffs too, motherfucker. I'm in the betting playoffs right now. Anyways, we're back again on this beautiful Friday. I hope y'all are doing well. Without further ado, let's, what do you say we talk about some basketball in this slate? Three fun games. I'm excited, y'all. Let's get into it. All right. Heat and Hawks get us kicked off at the first game of the day. And, guys, this is lining up pretty well for a trifecta spot here today. Let's talk our way through it. Hawks down 2-0. Miami's look pretty damn good. Miami definitely the better team. But I think you gotta go look to the other side of the Hawks and see what you got there. And you have Trae Young, who's an All-NBA player, going to be at very worst third team All-NBA in my eyes, I would assume. All-Star. You have Kevin Herter, Bogey, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, Gallo, DeLon Wright, Onyeka. It's not a bad team out in Atlanta. And obviously things have not started off well, too well, but I think, and it's a case-to-case basis, right? Because we were on the Warriors minus two or whatever last game. It's a case-to-case basis. But this situation, you got to think it lends itself towards the Hawks. You do. They've been absolutely incredible at home. The second half of the season. I don't know what it is, but they've been incredible. They weren't actually all that great first half of the season. They were great last year at the crib. Started this year and just were mad at the crib. But second half of the season, they were great. And they've missed guys in plenty of games. But they've turned it on. Now, this Miami Heat team has been very, very, very difficult for me to kind of evaluate. Because obviously, they're the one seed in the East. The personnel is really good in terms of, especially it's just like winners, right? They're just filled with winners. Jimmy Butler, say what you want about him. He's a winner. Kyle Lowry, say what you want about him. He's CP's twin brother, you know, in terms of how he's kind of trying to approach the game. PJ Tucker, NBA champion. Winner. Bam Adebayo, Team USA Olympian. You know, been to the finals. Winner. Tyler Hero, you know, his game's not necessarily like, oh, that's a winning type game, but he's shown he belongs. He's shown he belongs here on the big stage. So, for me, it's been a very good team, but they've had their stretches, and then what's different about them is they don't really have those, you know, every other contender. You know, they have that star, or they have that guy that can go get you buckets in the half court. And Tyler Hero can do that for stretches, for sure. But I guess where I'm coming from is they don't have that elite offensive talent that a lot of these teams do. Whether you look at the Suns with Book and CP, you know, whether you look at the Sixers with Harden and Embiid, or the Celtics with JB and JT, the Nets, the Warriors, you know. they don't necessarily have that. They have Jimmy Butler, who's great at getting the line, and obviously he dropped 45, but that's kind of, you know, my always been my issue with them, where I know they're a really good team, but the championship level, right? And are they the type of team, are they this locked in that they're going to go on the road to a packed house in Atlanta against a team that really, they have ridiculous numbers at home post All-Star break. I don't know the exact thing, but it's something wild. They've been really, really good back at home after a road loss. Really everything here points towards the Hawks here. And I think you look too, and it's like Jimmy Butler had 45 last game, and it was a 3-point game with like 4 minutes left, you know? So I think oftentimes we can get caught up in, you know, what's happened before in the first two games in very specific scenarios. And this is a different scenario. Playing in Atlanta is much, much different than playing in Miami. It's not even, you know, necessarily the life that, you know, Miami got from their crowd, but the Hawks not having the life that they get from their crowd and being at home. So, I mean, you look, we have had now like two series where the home team is down 2-0. And I think it's, again, you don't say, oh, that's what happened there, so that is exactly what's going to happen here. But I think you can use it as some context, and you get the Raps, who came out really hot, took the first quarter easily, took the first half easily, and then Sixers crept back, and they stole a game, honestly. They stole that game in Toronto. Toronto hits their free throws, and they win that game. Right? And the Sixers are clearly a better team, but you just, that situation you see, I think it's kind of a similar situation to what you're going to see today, except I think the Hawks are going to pull this out. Even you look at the Nuggets, and the Nuggets are completely outclassed, right? Like, just zero margin for error. Like, they got to play almost perfect basketball to have a chance, you know, at the end of 48 minutes. And shit, I was on the Warriors, despite them being up 2-0 going on the road, right? Like, so, again, it's going to vary based case to case, but even in that situation, the Nuggets were up 3 with 4 or 5 minutes left, right? Even with that level of talent difference, it was a game right there. And I think the talent level difference between these two teams is much less than what it is with the Nuggets and Warriors. So you've seen it already two times now where two teams are down 2-0 and they're back at the crib. And you've seen, honestly, I know the Nuggets didn't cover and they didn't win and they didn't cover first quarter, first half, or full game, but it was a good performance and it was a 1-point game going, you know, 4 minutes left. Raps should have won. So I think this is finally the time where a team down 2-0 comes back at home and they actually go get a win. They go get a win. So I'm debating first quarter, first half, and I like full game. Funny enough, the books are actually holding the lines on first quarter, first half. I would assume, yeah, it's just they kind of are on to what we are on, right? You know, just the more desperate team at home early on. And I'd assume, despite the Hawks being 1.5-point dogs overall, I'd assume they'll open up as first quarter, first half faves slightly, whether it be -0.5, -1, you know. I think you're going to see them as favorites, kind of like what it was with the Raptors. So for me, Hawks here. When the first half, first quarter lines come out, we'll reassess. I like full game too. Again, it's Friday. We don't want to get too carried away. We've had a good week so far. We're up some units. But I think the Hawks trifecta is definitely something I'm looking at today. On top of that, I think props Trae Young makes a lot of sense. He struggled, right? Last game he had, 38 points, rebounds, and assists combined, but 10 turnovers. First game was terrible. Ice Trae's back at home in Atlanta where he loves playing basketball, where he feeds off the fans. It's 41.5, I think, so it's pretty damn high. But if there's a guy to do it, it's him. So I definitely like Trae Young PRA. Definitely like the Hawks today. Hope that makes sense. Again, Heat are a better team. The desperation here for the Hawks, and the Hawks are not a bad team. They've been really, really good at home. It's going to take a masterful, vet-filled, Spo coaching his ass off performance for the Heat to win today. And they can do it. They're fully capable of doing it. But it takes a really, really, in general, it's going to take a really, really good performance to beat these Hawks. I will say, Bam's questionable, Caleb Martin's questionable, PJ Tucker's questionable. I'd expect them all to play. I'd honestly expect them all to play. So maybe if they get ruled in, you're going to get some better lines. So I'm going to hold the line. It's 1.5 for full game. Again, could definitely see the Hawks being favored early on, despite them being dogs in the full game. But there's a chance that when Bam, PJ, all of them get ruled in, which, I'd assume they will, that line moves a little bit in our favor, whether it's for the full game or first quarter, first half, or all of it. Next game, Bucks and Bulls. This is the toughest cap of the card for sure. I haven't watched a second of the Bulls-Bucks. Told you guys, first game one, I was just kind of like mentally fatigued and I needed a quick break. And then the last game, I had a men's league game. So, you know, I walk out of that men's league game. Look, Chris Middleton has a MCL sprain and the Bucks are losing at home. So I don't really know what to make of it, right? Like, this is a team that won the finals last year. I am going to put so much more trust in them and give them the benefit of the doubt. I would lean them here, even without Chris Middleton. But, like, I don't know. It seems like there's a little something magical going on in Chicago. And it's not like even in game one where they lost, it was not like that was a blowout. They were right there. But not having watched a single second of that series, I'm not going to put money on it. I'm not going to pretend to have a lean or an angle, because I know a lot of you guys put money based on that. So I can't lie to you. I got nothing here. And I wish I did. One of only three games today. And I want to catch this. I want to catch good parts of this game today so we, you know, we can be a little bit more in tune with what's going on moving forward. But for me, stay away. I'd lean Bucks. I guess you could do the fade of a, you know, uneducated lean. That's never a bad idea. Fade the uneducated lean. And go Bulls, and probably gets up to 3-2, which, is there a 6-point difference? I don't know. Fuck, Bulls kind of, if Bulls get to 3, that gets cheeky for me. That really gets cheeky. I mean, they've been playing just as well as the Bucks. They lose their second or third best player, however you want to do it, and now they're back at home. I don't know. Bucks off a loss, though, that's a good response, but I also think Drew points, rebounds, assists could be interesting if you wanted to props on the Bulls. DeMar points. Or let me check Caruso. Caruso's going to play a ton. Caruso's going to play an absolute ton, as he should. Now, the guy's not really a stat guy. He's an impact guy. But when you play 40 minutes, you kind of run into stats. Let's check the stats on the last game. Again, didn't watch a second of it. But Caruso played 37 minutes, had 9 points. 2 rebounds, 10 assists. That's going to be 21 points, rebounds, and assists. I bet you it's like 19 or 20. It's 15.5. Game one, 32 minutes, 7-3-2. Alex Caruso is a plus 16 in a 4-point win. Him and Vooch were plus 16 and plus 13. No one else was higher than plus 4. Zach LaVine was a plus 4. DeRozan was a plus 2. Everyone else was negative. Every other bench player was negative. I think Caruso's interesting, man. I think Caruso's very damn interesting. Vooch is interesting too, man. Two straight games, 24 points. 13 rebounds and 17 rebounds, 2 assists and 3 assists. He's smashing. He smashed 35.5 both games. Interesting too. Drew Holiday at 35.5. Interesting. P. Will at 14.5. Interesting. There's some Bulls. I don't know, man. There might be some Bulls value here. I like Caruso. I do. I think 15.5, 16 is short. I think you can see. I don't know that he's going to go get 10 dimes again. I don't know, man. Again, he can completely impact the game and not get any stats. But I think the most likely stat line is something like, I don't know, 5 or 4 boards and 4 assists. He goes 8-4-4. He's cashing. I don't know. I think that's worth a look, guys. I think that's worth a look. I mean, he's just going to play an insane amount of minutes. And it was, again, just hugely, hugely impactful last game. You know, I think Billy Donovan wants him in. At 5 fouls game one, you know, averages on the season 3.6 rebounds in 27 minutes. Gonna play 37. So his season averages put him at 14 PRA in 27 minutes. He's going to play 10 more minutes than that. So I like Caruso over points, rebounds, assists. All right, last game of the day, Suns-Pelicans. This is another one. I don't have a good read on the spread, but we can talk our way through it. Pelicans are not your normal 8 seed, right? They win 2 games in the play-in. They started 0-13. 0-13, and that's why I just think Brandon Ingram just deserves a ton of respect. He's kept this team together. Kept him afloat. Then you go get CJ, who's a borderline all-star mid-year, and things start to click. Really, everyone knows their role. They've got a bunch of winning players, and they're fearless. They're fearless, and I think it really starts at the top with Willie Green. Willie Green is a wonderful head coach. He was a great hire. He's been perfect for the culture in New Orleans. Everyone's bought in. He's getting the most out of guys, and this is not your normal AC. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Pelicans are now the favorite without Book. But the Suns, if I'm a Suns fan, I'm decently nervous. And today will be a big test. Today will be a really big test. You go into New Orleans against a team playing really, really well. Off a loss. And let's not even get it twisted. Booker went down. When Booker went down, the Pels were already winning. Right? But this wasn't some Suns blowout. Booker goes down and the wind, you know, goes out of the system. The Pelicans were already being... Pelicans were the better team throughout that game, even when Book was playing. So you're getting Pelicans. I don't know. At first coming in, I was thinking about, you know, short favorites, right? We saw it with the Warriors covering, short favorite game 3. Sixers come in, short favorite game 3. Memphis comes in, short favorite game 3. I think we might see a reversal of the trend today where the short dogs go on a little bit of a run. Hawks today, shit, man, the Bulls don't seem half bad, and I don't think the Pelicans are a terrible look. Now, you have a way more experienced team with the Suns. Actually, they're not even that much more experienced. It's just CP and then all these guys that made the run last year. But I guess they just have a more established culture. And the funny thing is, Willie Green was 100% a part of establishing that, and he's now in New Orleans. But this will be a really fun game. I think you have a really hot team and a team in rhythm in the Pelicans. Teams that are playing free with a great head coach versus a team that, you know, has championship experience. They've been on a mission all year. Like, they won 64 damn games. And so it's going to be a great clash between two teams that are kind of in different stages right now. And I'm going to stay away from the spread, but one place I will go is Brandon Ingram. I think these playoffs are whether they win this series or not. This is the kind of the Brandon Ingram stage. I think it's his coming out party. You saw it last game, 37, 11, and 9. I don't think he's going to go drop that again. But I think that game, and just in general, he's really cemented, like, hey, I'm here. I'm a legitimate star. Like, CJ's a great bucket getter. And it's not even, again, to prove to CJ. But, like, CJ's a great co-star. You know, he did Dame well. He also did Dame dirty a couple times, but, you know, he's good at what he does. But Brandon Ingram is the whole package, and there's a different level to it, both defensively, both as a distributor. I think even as a scorer, I think CJ, when he doesn't have his rhythm, it can get ugly. Brandon can find other ways when he doesn't necessarily have his shooting rhythm. So, Pels are going to go, I think, rely on him heavily. You get a guy who can contributes at points, has 30 point upside, 10 rebound upside, 10 assists upside, and you're getting him at the crib in a huge game. They go win game 3, and shit, man, like, things start to get scary for Phoenix. So I'm going to go ride the Brandon Ingram train. I think he's hot. I know he didn't get there game one, but in Phoenix, first real playoff game after an emotional high of the play-in is different. All right, now you're kind of settled in. You know you have a legit – again, they probably already thought this, but you know, okay, no book. We really got a legit shot to win this. Like, we can't squander this opportunity. And, I mean, Willie Green's just only said the best things. I'm ready to ride this Brandon Ingram train. I think we get in a master class coming in tonight, 38-7, something like that. Going to cash early fourth. As for the spread, though, I don't know. All right. Recapping, really taking a good hard look at the Hawks today. Trifecta spot might be lined up. Doesn't matter right now because the book doesn't have the lineup. But Hawks, again, to this point, they are the more desperate team. They have been amazing at home. And I think we're about to see this trend of short road faves in a plus, especially in desperation spots. I think their run comes to an end today. I do. Bulls, same situation, man. Like, on one hand, I trust the Bucks because of that championship experience. And Giannis ain't going home round one. I mean, Drew could get hurt. I don't think Giannis is going home round one. But this is a tough task. Suddenly, the Bucks and Suns, you know, the two teams that I think were most people's favorites, are in a little bit of a tight spot now. Tight spot. Do you think Caruso's interesting? I think Caruso's my favorite point, rebound, assist there. And then Suns, Pelicans, Brandon Ingram. Anyways, guys, happy Friday. Go enjoy your damn day, bro. I got hoop in the morning tomorrow, but when I get back, I should be able to record. Sending y'all love. Enjoy the day. And hopefully you can get to some playoff basketball tonight. But if you can't, enjoy whatever you're doing, man. I'll be here all playoff long. I'll see y'all tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in. Love you guys. Peace.